Good Erev Pesach, everybody. Okay, we're in the third parak of Krisus. We're about to embark on a discussion of Shabbos. Okay, we find ourselves on Tezvav. We went through the Mishnah yesterday. We went through an assortment of Mishnayos. Discuss various scenarios of relations, forbidden relations between a man and a woman, where she could be more than one Isser to him. She could be two Isserim, three Isserim. We went up to as many as six Isserim between a man and a woman, and one act of Bia would result in multiple Chatos, assuming that all the acts of Bia were done Behalamecha, were done in one state of unawareness. What if he just repeated the same Isser again and again with the woman who's prohibited to him, Behalamecha, in one state of unawareness? So, we learned in a Mishnah that is subject to a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. As we pointed out already, that our general principle that we keep coming back to again and again is that if you do one act, repeat one act, the Halamach, in one state of unawareness, you're only going to be chayv one chatas. That's the general position that we've taken. That's the accepted halachic position. But Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer gives a scenario where a man has relations with a woman who's in Ida, and he repeats the act again and again. He does it five times. He's going to be chayv five carbon chatzis. That is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. The Gemara is going to spend some time today analyzing Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, even though his position is not the accepted position. But nevertheless, though, we've seen this before. The Gemara takes his position and looks to try to understand a little bit better. We'll start right in the middle of the Amud. We're on Tezvav Amud Aleph. We started yesterday, but let's start again. Tanu Rabbanan. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says you're chai for every single act that a man has with a woman, every act of relations that a man has with a woman who's forbidden to him, and it's all behalamecha. But Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, but you're chai every time. So the Chachamim say, no, that's not correct. But rather, you're going to be chayv only one carbon chatas. Now, now here, there is going to be a point of agreement between the Chacham and Rebbe Lazar. Let's just say that a man has relations with five different women, each one of them being an Ida. So in other words, the Isser is the same Isser, but it's being acted on with five separate women. So then the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, then you're right. Then you would be chayv five carbon chatas, hol v'hu garam lahem. Now the original explanation, the initial explanation for this is, well, I'll tell you why. Why is that case different than just simply repeating the same act with the same woman five times? Because if it's five different women, every woman that a man has relations with, she's going to have to also bring a carbon chatas, again, assuming that she is in the state of shogeg. She's also going to bring a carbon chatas. So the original explanation is that his carbon chatas is connected to her carbon chatas. Since every time he has relations with a new woman, she's going to need to bring a carbon chatas, he then is going to have to bring an additional one because he's connected to her. He's tied to her in terms of the carbon chatas. So I'm a reveler, I'm Nachman, me, I'm in a hovahu garam lahem. So the Gemara says that's not really the correct explanation. And he says, and I'll illustrate this in the following scenario. So let's say the following were to happen. Let's say a man has relations with a woman who's an Ida, and he did it five times. Now, he did it in one state of a halama, meaning he was just simply unaware that either she's an Ida or that it was prohibited, whatever the halama is, however he fell asleep. He was sleeping at the wheel. In other words, he did all five in one halama echad. So how many karbanos is he chayv? It's only going to be chayv one. And let's say she, who was also involved in the same act, had five separate halamos, meaning between every act of relations, she wakes up and she says, oh, I can't believe I just did that. And she realized what she did. And then she goes, lapses back into her unawareness, and she does it again. And so for her five times, they were separated by yediyah. She had a point of knowledge in between every bia. So there, she's going to be chayv five karbanos, and he'll be chayv only one. So you see clearly that he's not connected to her. Meaning, you can have the same act committed, and meanwhile, he'll only have one carbon chatas for all five times, and she'll have five separate carbonos. So you see that's the hu garam lahem is not the correct understanding of the chachamim. So what is? So the correct understanding, which is what we come back to time and again, is this idea of gufin mechlakin. Meaning, the fact that they're five separate women, right? They're literally, in this case, they're five separate bodies, they divide. Meaning the guf is mechalik. Meaning we've said this now in so many different contexts, how you can divide one act from another act. So yediyah bein tayim, if you have a point of knowledge in between, you remember that was prohibited and then you lapse back in. So yediyah is mechalik. Yediyah is going to divide one act in a separate and a second act, so that each one's going to be obligated to bring a separate carbon chatas. Here, guf and muchlakin, the fact that they're two separate women are going to divide the two acts, and therefore he's going to have to bring two separate karbanos. Okay. Good. We have now a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. We have an understanding of what's behind the Chachamim. We don't have much of an understanding in terms of what's behind Rabbi Eliezer. What's behind Rabbi the Chachamim is, if it's the same act committed with the same woman, it's just a repeated offense, there's nothing to divide the first offense and the second offense. They're basically viewed now as one protracted event, and so therefore you're only going to be chayv one carbon chatas. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, that you're going to be chayv for every single act. The only point where the Chachamim are going to agree to Rabbi Eliezer is if it's different women. Once it's different women, so then I don't view it as a protracted event, but rather each act in of itself is going to be chayv the carbon chatas. So far, so good. Now, the Gemara says, okay, now with that on the table, katsa v'katsa mali amar Rabbi Eliezer. Now we go to Shabbos. Now on Shabbos, there are 39 malachas on Shabbos. One of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is kotzer. You're not allowed to harvest. You can't cut anything that's connected to the ground off from the ground. You can't pluck out grass. You can't pull off a branch from a tree. The malacha of kotzer. How much you have to be kotzer in order to be chayiv? So the amount is a shear of a grogerus. So dried fig. Okay, that's just simply the amount. What if, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in one swoop of the knife, I cut two branches from a fig tree? Okay, each branch in of itself has a shear, has the amount required that would bring about a liability. But I do it in one fell swoop, and I cut those two branches in one fell swoop. Now, we know, again, what would our position be? Like the Chachamim, the halachic position would be you only have one carbon chatas, because it's one act, even though incorporated in that one act you have two branches that were cut off, but so what? It was done in one act, so therefore it's viewed as one action, and therefore you only have one carbon chatas. Good. That's the position we take. That's the halacha. But we're now, this is analysis, this is now according to Rabbi Eliezer, who said that in the scenario where a man had relations with the same woman five times over, five carbon chatases, what about over here? Would he say the same thing over here? Is there a difference between the two cases? So the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Eliezer, time of the Rabbi Eliezer, I'm sorry, Mali, I'm a Rabbi Eliezer. So what would Rabbi Eliezer say in this case? Time of the Rabbi Eliezer, awesome, Mishim de Avitartin, Vamat Allah, Amar, Chayav, Akalachas, Vachas, Hachanami, de Avitartin. So on one hand, you'll just simply say, yeah. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer will say, in the case of the man sleeping with the Nida five times over, so it's five times over, meaning He doesn't view it as a protracted event. Every act of B.S. considered its own independent act. Here too, even though it was with one action, but he cut two branches. So we look at the result of him cutting two branches, and the fact of the matter is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to be chayv two karmen chatases. That's one way to explain Rabbi Eliezer. O Dilma, the Gemara says, but you could say it like this. Time of the Rabbi Eliezer ha'asam mishum di'iyav shalala arvan le'biyo zubazu. Amat alahachi am Rabbi Eliezer chayv al kolachas v'achas. Aval katzer kegrogris v'chazer v'katzer kegrogris behelam echa kevin de'eshol alar shtei grogris bevatz achas eino chayv ela achas. It's different. Fundamentally different. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of a man sleeping with women, he can't do the five acts simultaneously. It's impossible. I mean, that's just the nature of the act of bia. That every act of bia has to be done independent, has to be, or separated one from another, just by the physical nature of the act of bia. So you physically can't have five bia simultaneously. So that's why Rabbi Eliezer says you're going to be chayv for every single one. Masha'ein came, but over here, in the case of reaping, of harvesting on Shabbos, so there are two branches, but I can cut both of them at the same time. Meaning in one action, I can cut both of them at the same time. So maybe Rabbi Eliezer over here will look at it as one event, as one action, and therefore you're only going to be chayv one carbon chatas. So the Gemara now is suggesting that even Rabbi Eliezer, who is easier to divide actions, but in the case of harvesting, we'll still view it as one event. My. So, the Gemara gave two explanations in terms of how to understand, how to correctly understand Rabbi Eliezer. And now the Gemara is going to give two Amoraim who are going to basically reflect these two positions. Amar Ravatam and Ravalaz Hasamisham Davitarte, Hachanami Havitarte. So the Gemara says, Rava says, okay, it's all based on how many acts did he commit? Two acts? Two carbon chatases, period. He doesn't see a difference between the case of the having relations with Anida versus our case of harvesting on Shabbos. It's the same. So Rav Yosef, Amar Taim and Rabbi Lazar, Hasam Di Efshal Lo Arvan, Ava Efshal Lo Arvan, Eino Chai V'Lachas. And Rav Yosef takes the other position, which is no, they're different. Rav Yosef will say the two acts are different because in the case of Bia, he can't have the five acts of relation simultaneously. It's just physically impossible. That's why it's going to be Chai V'Karbon for everyone. Mashenke, in the case of harvesting, you can cut the two branches simultaneously. Eitzvei Abai L'Rava. Okay, so now we have two explanations, two Amorayim, each one reflecting the different explanation. The Gemara now is going to challenge Rabba. Rabba was the one who said that they're the same. It's basically any time you violate, you commit two acts, even if you do them at the same time, you're going to be chayv two karmen chatzis. Again, all this is under the umbrella of Rabbi Eliezer, okay, which is not the same way we accept lalacha, but this is Torah. This is just simply the analysis of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer mechayv avlade malachas b'makom avos. Rabbi Eliezer's mechayv on the vlad malachos in the b'makom avos, in the place where you're doing an av. Okay, just the basics, the very basics. On Shabbos, you'll hear about this in the seventh parak of Shabbos, and you'll hear this also in the beginning of Baba Kama, first page of Baba Kama, where the Gemara has this very same discussion. On Shabbos, the 39 malachos, we already talked about that. The 39 malachos are then subdivided into tolados, into subcategories, right? Shabbos, performance of malach on Shabbos is very organized into 39 malachos and then further subdivided. There is a Yerushalmi, interesting Yerushalmi, that says that, quotes the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I think it's Rabbi Yochanan, but the Yerushalmi says that for every one of the avos, there are then another 39 tolados for every av. Okay, our Gemara Bavli doesn't actually go through all 39. Maybe our Gemara Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. I don't know. But anyway, it's, how do you say 39 squared? Okay. That's a lot. It comes out to a big number, correct. All right, so anyway, but for every av, there's a tolada. And what's a tolada mean? Tolada means that it's a subcategory, meaning it very much mimics the av, right? The simple example would be on Shabbos, you're not allowed to perform the malacha of dash, of separating the kernel from the chaff, and the tolada of that, a subcategory of that, would be squeezing juice from the fruit, meaning it's not exactly the same, but it's very similar, so therefore, it is a violation of Shabbos by squeezing juice out of the fruit. Now, tolada, it's an issur d'rabbanan, issur d'oraisa. The answer is very clear, it's an issur d'oraisa. In fact, it's a capital crime just as much as an av is. Meaning, if you do an av, you violate your mechal Shabbos. If you violate a tolada, so then you're a mechal Shabbos. So then, what's the point? Meaning, why do we need to compartmentalize? Why do we need to organize this information? I mean, I enjoy organization and I enjoy the information being organized. But lemaisa, practically speaking, what difference does it make knowing the av and knowing all of its tolados? So the Gemara Baba Kama asks this very question, and essentially, one of the answers, there's a couple of answers, but one of the answers is that if I violate an av and its tolada and its sub av and subcategory, and I do it behelam echad, I'm only chayv one carbon. Right? It's as if I violate an av followed by violating the same av. Okay. That's the Gemara's basic, one of the Gemara's basic answers in terms of knowing this organization of what an av is and what its tolada is.
Good.
Well, right. In other words, it's still you're as mechal Shabbos as you violated the av itself. But the only difference. There's another one as well. But one of the only differences is that once you violate an av and its tolada, so then you're rung up for only one carbon chatas. Fine. Okay. That is again the Gemara Baba Kama, the very first page of Baba Kama, and that's how we hold. Meaning that's the halacha. Now, on this, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Of course. Right. Rabbi Eliezer would say that even in this scenario, you bring two carbon chatases. Good. That is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? That's a lot. That's already a lot of information. But based on all that information, now we're going to understand Abaye's challenge to Rabbi. Rabbi says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're always chayev two carbon chatases, even if you repeat the same act, even if you repeat the same act in one action. Right? Like the case of cutting the two branches with one swoop of the knife. So Rabbi says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're chayev two carbon chatases. So the Gemara says, but let's think about this now. So again, let's go back to the Gemara. Avad malachos b'makom avos. Malachos, b'makom avos malachos. Ha'av v'av b'vaz achas pater. Meaning, if you read the statement of Rabbi Eliezer carefully, it sounds like from Rabbi Eliezer that only if I violate an av and its tolada am I going to be chayv too. But if I do an av and I do the av again, in other words, I repeat the same av again, I'm going to be pater. Now, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say this is an implied statement of Rabbi Eliezer, and you could just simply say that by the implication is not correct. But the Gemara assumes that that's what he meant. An av and a told you're chayev too, but an av and then repeating the same exact av again, you're only going to be chayev one. Now, if you're Rav Yosef, you're happy. You're comfortable because that's exactly how you understood Rabbi Eliezer. That if you violate the same av twice over, you're only going to have one karmen chatas. So that's great. But that's only if you are Rabbi, that's only if you're Rav Yosef's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. But according to Rabbi, remember, Rabbi says that under all circumstances, Rabbi Eliezer is going to be chayev a separate karbon, even if both acts are committed in one action. You're going to be chayev two separate karbonos. So if that's correct, so then how did you understand that statement of Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara asks exactly this question: Why would you be potter? So Amar Mar Berei De Rabbanan Anav Rav Nechumi Bar Zachari Targime Hachem B'Maiskinan. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe the correct way to understand is the following: Bidalis Hamudlis Agabe Teena. So the Gemara says, maybe the case is like this. You have a fig tree and a grapevine. And they're right next to one another. Now, let's climb issues. I know. We're ignoring. Okay? So right now, because we're just interested in the Chil Shabbos aspect right now. So, and what I do is, I lay fig and vine. I lay the fig and the vine right over one another. Now Rashi points out over here, right now the vine has no grapes on it. So in other words, it's just vines. Why am I cutting it? I like the wood, right? I want firewood. So now, cutting a tree down that has no fruit on it is a tolada, is a subcategory of the Malach of Kotzer. Meaning the Malach of Kotzer requires you to cut something that has fruit attached to it, that's the malach of kotzer. I'm harvesting because I want the wheat. I'm harvesting because I want the fruit. If I cut a branch without fruit on it, that's a tolada. It's a subcategory. So now, Now, I cut the two of them, meaning the fig and the vine, in one swoop of the knife. Now, that's the case where Rabbi Eliezer says you're going to be chayev. Right? For two. Because what you've done in that one act is an av and a tolada. And remember, Rabbi Eliezer takes the position, which we don't adopt, which is if you do an av and it's tolada, you're going to be chayv too. Fine. Now, hachim echayv Rabbi Eliezer, hol v'shemus mechlakin v'gufim mechlakin, dekavasei katsar v'kasar, heichim ishkachal ademifter kagon shekatsar shtei grogros b'vaz achas. Right. But if I take two fig branches with figs on them, and they're connected to the ground, and I cut the two of them, so then yes, in that case over there, I'd be pater. But if I cut a grogris and then repeat and cut a grogris, and not in one act, but in two separate acts, so I would be chayev, analogous to the case of a man sleeping with multiple nidas. So What we've done is we've read the Braisa, we've made an implicit statement from the Braisa. It sounds like this is difficult according to Rabbah's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara then reinterprets, and the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. The case where I cut the two branches simultaneously, you're right. I'd only be chayv one carbon chatos. But if I cut a requisite amount, and then I go ahead and I cut again the requisite amount, so then I'd be chayv, much like Rabbi Eliezer would say, in the case of the Nida.
So Rabbi Eliezer, each act and each tolda.
Each act and each tolda. And even if I do an av and a tolda simultaneously, I'd also be chayv two carbon chatoses. Okay. Good. All right. We are that covers the discussion of Shabbos. Keep that in mind. We're coming back. More Shabbos discussion coming up a little bit later on. But right now, we resume our Mishnah and we resume our conversation. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel is making a chasna for his son. They're in the marketplace. They're walking through the marketplace, and they're talking in Torah, obviously. And so Rabbi Akiva's got a whole series of questions that he's asking Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Did I make up Rabbi Yoshua?
No.
He was there also?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Right. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua always go together. Sometimes for good and sometimes not for good. But in my mind, they belong together. And Rabbi Akiva's a student, right? He's the next generation after Rabbi Gamliel. So, V'ochal Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Kiva's next question goes like this: Avram u'dildelas b'mehem amal. Now we know that once a limb comes off of an animal, so that limb now is a tumah. It's the source of tumah. It's nevela. Okay, and so that's a starting point. What if the limb is not detached from the animal, but it's kind of hanging on, right? So it's somewhat attached, somewhat detached. Let's even say it's mostly detached and a little bit attached. So Rabbi Kiva asks his Rebbeim, look, we know what's going to happen. The limb's going to fall off. Just give it a little bit of time. But right now, Bashir Husham, is that limb going to give off tumah, yes or no? So Amru lo, lo shamanu. So again, the response to Rabbi Kiva, you're going to see that it's a recurring theme of the discussion. Lo shamanu, we don't know. That's a good question. Aval shamanu, but here's what we do know. Avraham adudels ba'adam shu'tar v'kach, that let's say we have a similar scenario in by human, where Rachman al-Islan, you have a limb of a human kind of hanging on, so the limb is mostly detached, a little bit attached. That limb does not give off tumah. Now, before we move on to the story, which is so relevant to Pesach, and basically it's a kavachomer. Now the Mishnah doesn't give us the details, but basically it's a kavachomer. Look, people are more susceptible to tumah than an animal is. A person can become tamei even before they're dead. A person can receive tumah even before they're dead. The person can be a source of tumah even before they're dead. And so if a dangling limb of a human isn't going to be tamei, so certainly the dangling limb of an animal is not going to be tamei. Okay, that's what we call a very simple, straightforward kal vachomer. Okay, good. Now, the kachayu, we are on the top of the next Amud, moche shechin osin b'Yerushalayim. And this is what the moche shechin, the people who were reflected with shechin, right, so ironic, that's the makkah that was given to the Egyptians, one of the makkahs that was given to the Egyptians, but this particular Jew now is unfortunately inflicted with shechin, with boils, and basically he has a limb because of these boils that is about to come off. And now it's Erev Pesach, which is unbelievable because today's Erev Pesach. There's a reason why. You think I fall behind just by accident? It's not true. It's not true. It's all by design. I planned it. It's unbelievable. Sometimes it's such. So on Erev Pesach. So here's what they wanted to do. They wanted to bring the Karban Pesach, but they didn't want that hanging limb on their arm. Now why not? Yeah, why didn't they want it on their arm? So there's a Rashi over here. Yeah, so there's an interesting Rashi over here. You take a look at the top Rashi in the page, second Rashi in the page, Chod Chol. So basically, before I'm about to read the Mishnah, but I'm just explaining right now, why does he want the limb off of his body? Meaning it's still hanging on, like let it just hang there. So Rashi says, Shalom yehe ma'os beregel be'ever amududal. You know, before Yontav, you like to take a bath, you like to comb your hair, and unfortunately, and this is, I know, it's an insensitive way to say it, but, you know, and if you have any hanging limbs, you'd like to get rid of that as well. So, that's what, I mean, essentially, that's what Rashi is saying. Oh, okay, fine. So now, we want amputation. Okay, so we're talking about surgery on Erev Pesach. But here's a consideration which, okay, I know the two of you are not surgeons, but here's a consideration that you doctors never have to take into account. You want to do surgery and not become tummy, right? Because tonight, right? Unfortunately, we're doing this without a Beis HaMikdash. We should all have a Beis HaMikdash by this evening. But tonight. Tonight we want to eat the Karban Pesach. So if I come into contact with your limb, with your detached limb, I'm not going to be able to eat Karban Pesach tonight. So I don't want to become tummy, and you don't want to become tummy, meaning the amputee as well. So what we want to do is we want to do surgery, take off the limb, and neither of us become tummy. So how do you do it? Listen to this. You guys are going to love this. It's an unbelievable ingenuity. Yes.
The time window is actually 70.
What we're going to do is we're going to extract the limb, and neither of us are going to become tummy. That's what we're going to do. So, holech lo Erev Pesach etzol rofe. So on Erev Pesach, you go to the doctor. You're right, by the way. He didn't have to wait till Erev Pesach.
But I'm saying that the consideration for tummy tumah has to be...
Correct. In other words, right, because we're talking about tumas mace. You're absolutely right. So Erev etzol Erev Pesach. Chod chod sheminech bo kesara. So what the doctor does is, he does a little more... cutting, and basically so he makes the limb not almost totally detached, but still you want some connection. As long as that limb is connected to the body, even though it's a minute connection, it's still going to not be tameh. It's only tameh. That limb is only going to be tameh once it's totally detached from the body. So v'tochvo b'sira, then what he does, much like mom used to do with the tooth, is that they would then take the limb that's nearly detached, attach it to a peg on the door, v'nimshach mimenu, and then what the patient does. There must be a lot of anesthesia involved in this. I'd imagine. So that night he may enjoy more than four cups of wine. So, and basically now he with force, he thrusts himself away from his limb, and now obviously the doctor is not touching anymore because the doctor doesn't want any contact with the limb. V'hala ose pischo v'arofe ose pischo, and everybody's happy, and the doctor's now going to enjoy his Karban Pesach tonight because he didn't touch the limb, and even the person who got amputated is also going to enjoy Karban Pesach tonight because he didn't touch his own limb as the limb was now becoming detached from the body.
And the limb's
then connect on the door. Right, correct. And he points it to everybody. Hey, look. So the Vesir Venimshach Mimeno Vahalo Sepischo Varofe Osepischo. So it's interesting. So Lechore, it would. So it would have to be in a place where there's no roof overhead. Right? That's another good point. Rowan Anushar Drum Kavachomer. Now, okay, all that was told to us by way of side, but the point is that, look, if the dangling limb of a human is not tamei, meaning as long as it's attached, it's not tamei. So the dangling limb of an animal for sure is not tamei. Okay, good. Good. The knife is a conveyor of tumah. In fact, the halacha is, the Gemara in Chulin tells us, that the knife conveys tumah to the same degree as the mace himself. So if the mace is more than an avatama, super avatama, aviavosatama, so you who are going to touch through a knife are also going to be conveyed with the same degree of tumah. Tanan Hasam. Okay, good. The Gemara is going to stay on that story of the amputee. It's an exciting story, really. So the Gemara is really going to be fixated on that. And the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, we learned together a Mishnah in Machshirin. We know that in order for any food to become tamei, it first comes, has to come into contact with a liquid. Any one of the seven liquids that will prepare, that will be makshir, so that once it comes into the liquid, now it's ready, it's mukshar, but kabbal tumah, susceptible to tumah. There's only one rule that you need to know when it comes to makshirin, and it's the rule that we go over again and again, which is that these seven liquids only are going to be a makshir if you wanted the liquid to come into contact with the food. You have to, the liquid has to be in a state where it's beratzon, where you want the liquid. If you don't want the liquid to come into contact with whatever, with the food, with whatever, so then that liquid is not a makshir.
You deliberately have to pour your coffee onto the liquid.
It has to be done beratzon. Now, it's the shebetochein b'chiyutan, v'ayotzim emenor harehe b'chiyutan. Now, the Mishnah in Machshirin discusses some strange cases. Hamochik is a kresha. You're squeezing the vegetable of its juice. Now, of its internal juice, hard to imagine because that's not considered water. That the internal juice of a liquid, it's zeya ba'alma, the Gemara calls it, sweat, perspiration of the juice. It's not, that's not water. So Tosfos doesn't understand Rashi. Rashi says that it's talking about the internal liquid of the juice. Tosfos says that's not correct. It's talking about where the vegetable was saturated with rainwater. Okay, whatever the case is. Hasoche b'sa'aro. You have water in your hair, and you're squeezing out the water from your hair. Uviksusa, if you're water in your garment, you squeeze out the water. So mashke shebetocha ina b'chiyutan, v'yatza mimena harin b'chiyutan. So while it's still inside, that's not b'chiyutan. Once you squeeze it, now once the liquid is expressed and comes out, so now it's b'chiyutan. Amar Shmuel, now why are we interested in this Mishnah in Machshirin? Now, I mean, what is the Gemara trying to make the point? It's what Shmuel says about this Mishnah in Machshirin. Amar Shmuel, v'kresha atzma huchsharu. Now Shmuel says, you're squeezing the vegetable. Liquid's coming out of the vegetable. Once the liquid is outside the vegetable, that liquid now is a makshir. Shmuel says, you know what the first thing it was makshir? The vegetable that you squeezed. Oh, but wait a second. Internally, it wasn't makshir. It's only makshir once it comes out. As it's exiting, as a farewell gift to the vegetable, it basically comes into contact with the vegetable, and therefore it's makshir the vegetable.
You mean the exterior of the vegetable.
The exterior of the vegetable. And that's the parting gift of the liquid that it provides to the vegetable, provides hechshir for the vegetable. So, good. And now, do you see the connection, or in this case, the disconnection? Right? Do you see the connection between the case of Machshir and our case over here? Essentially, the Gemara is bothered by the following. Wait a second. We have now a scenario where we're trying to amputate a limb off of a person on Erev Pesach so that he and the doctor don't become tamei. Now, the doctor, we totally understand, because the doctor is not making any contact with the limb as the limb is being separated from the body. But the person, the amputee, isn't he touching the limb as the limb is as the limb is being detached from his body? So doesn't that limb basically hand off a farewell gift to the person, which is tumah? Meaning when the limb, that moment, that precise moment, when the limb and the body detach from one another, so now the limb is an avatum, it's a source of tumah. And at that moment, isn't the limb now making contact with the body, with the person, so that the person himself is tummy? Much like when I squeeze the liquid out of the vegetable, the parting gift is that that liquid, as it's exiting the vegetable, is being machshir the vegetable. Okay, I know they're not exactly the same, but in terms of concept, conceptually, it's that as it's leaving, it touches as it's leaving. V'atanan. And the Gemara expresses this question. Erev Pesach olech lo etzel, v'yamad b'shas p'rishas ha-mukhshar, ha-ikanami, ha-uei v'amadulta, b'shas p'rishas ha-me'adam, nitmaya la-adam. So this is the Gemara's formulation of the question, and the answer is, k'dekhama Rav Yosef, b'nintazim b'chol kochan, ha-chanami b'nintazim b'chol kochan. So the Gemara's answer, right, it's hard to understand where exactly to draw the line, but the Gemara says, if you separate with full force, so then you're not touching. It's only in a slow separation between the two items do we say that the item is touching as it's separating. But if it's a forceful separation between two items, remember back to your days in physics, if we have force going in opposite directions, so then we're going to say that there is no contact at the point of separation between the two. So in the case where the amputee, he's launching himself away from his limb, So then we're not going to say that he's touching his limb as it's separating. However, in the case where I'm squeezing juice out, that's obviously a very slow process where the juice now is the water inside the vegetable is being extracted. So there we're going to say that as it's departing, it's touching the vegetable as it's departing. Okay. Now, we learned a lot of Gemara together, Baruch Hashem. I do understand the answer, but in other words, it's hard to draw the line. What's considered a forceful separation versus a slow separation? Meaning there's a lot of gray area in between, and we're not giving a very precise definition of when it touches and when it doesn't touch. But the Hechidma de Rav Yosef, aha. Now, where did Rav Yosef make this original declaration that it makes a difference whether it's a forceful separation? So the Gemara says he said it on a Tosefta, of course. Zav v'tamemei shahayu mahalchin. Let's say you have either zav or tamemeis, meaning people who are tamei, right? People who are not just tamei but a source of tamei. And shahayu mahalchin v'yadulayim gishamim, and they're walking and they got caught in the rain. Alpha pisha sochtin. Skip the parentheses. Mitzad elyon l'tzad tachton taharin she'ein mechashvin ela sheyatzu mekulan. Okay, the Mishnah says the following: that liquid, as it's absorbed in the garment of the Zav, or the Tamei Meis. Now the garments they're wearing are also Tamei. As the liquids are absorbed in the garment, those liquids are not significant. They don't give off Tuma. They're not Chashav. It's an interesting idea in of itself. We can spend some time on this in of itself, but for now, just accept the fact that the liquids inside these garments are not considered Chashav. Only as they leave the garment do they become Tamei. Right, but once it leaves, it's machshir. Now, again, there's an implicit question in the Gemara over here. I don't understand. Once it leaves, it's machshir. What are you talking about, machshir? Can't you have a more basic discussion? The person who's wearing the clothing right now is tameh, is a source of tumah. The liquid as it's leaving, we shouldn't call it a machshir. Machshir just simply means that the liquid now is, it can make food susceptible to tumah. Susceptible to tumah? How about this? How about the liquids themselves are tameh because they're coming from a garment of a man or a woman who's tameh? So the liquid should be tameh, not machshir. Machshir is seems to be far from the point. So Amar Rav Yosef, Bini Tazim B'Kol Kochan. So again, so Rav Yosef says, yeah, we're talking about a case where they came out of the garment forcefully. They were thrust from the garment. And because the liquid was thrust from the garment, so therefore, upon the point of departure, the point of separation, we don't view the liquid as coming into contact with the garment. But if it was a slow and deliberate separation between the liquid and the garment, so then enechinami, what we're going to say is that the garment and the liquid touched each other as they departed. Okay. Next. The ode, Sha'alu, Rabbi Akiva, Shochet Ezvachim Bechutz Ba'alam Echad Mahu. Chai V'kol Achaz V'achaz O, Achaz Al Kulan. We learned in the first parak of Krisus, the first Mishnah of Krisus, that one of the Chayvei Krisus is shechting a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Shchutei Chutz. Now, what if I'm in a state of halama? I'm sleeping, not literally, but in other words, halachically, I just forget. I forget that I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash right now. Or I forget that it's prohibited. And I shecht a carbon Pesach out. It's carbon Pesach right now, really. We're there. So I'm shechting carbon Pesach outside the Beis HaMikdash. And I shecht five carbonos outside the Beis HaMikdash. But all in one halama. So Rabbi Akiva now, what is this, his third question he's asking them? So he wants to know, am I going to be chayav one carbon chatas or five? Amrlo lo shamanu. So they said to him, good question, we don't know. I'm Rabbi Yeshua shamati. So Rabbi Yeshua says, here's what I heard. Ba'ochel mizevach echad mihetam chuyin ba'alam echad shu chayav kol achas v'achas. Look, Rabbi Yeshua says that if I eat carbon off of five tamchuyim. Now, I've been saying up until now, five plates, five dishes. I've been eating them off of five dishes. Okay, it's imprecise in terms of what the way I explained it previously. Later on this morning, hopefully, we'll give a better definition of what it means, five tamchuyim. But right now, I'll say it simply. I eat off of five plates, chayv al kol achas v'achas mishum me'ila, because I violate the issur of me'ila, because I'm eating carbon that I'm not allowed to eat. Right? I'm misappropriating. It's the issur of me'ila. V'ra'ani shadvarim kavachomer. So therefore, if I'm eating off five different plates, and I'm eating it behelam echad, and I'm going to be chayv five times over, same over here. If I chef the carbon five times outside the base of Mikdash, five carbonates outside, I'm going to be chayv on each one. So I'm Rav Shimon, so what a strange discussion. What are we comparing, shechting a carbon to eating meat? Off different dishes? What's the give and what's the take? And what's the kavachomer? This one's difficult to understand. In fact, it's so difficult to understand. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Lo kach shalu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon says, you got this part of the story wrong. That wasn't the question that Rabbi Akiva was asking. Because, and the Gemara is going to make this point very clear, but if you're right, what's the give and what's the take? He's asking about shechting, and they're answering, oh, well, you eat all five different plates, so you're going to... Where's the parallel? So Ella, so the Gemara says, that wasn't Rabbi Akiva's question, but the question went like this. Ochol noser mechamesha zvachim b'alam achad. Yeah. I eat noser off of five different animals, five different karbanos. Noser is any karban that is left beyond its prescribed time, meaning tonight after chatzos, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. No, the carbon chatzos is no longer allowed to eat it, even according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, right? Who has this discussion? It's not going to be noser until the morning, right? And it's kind of like in a limbo state from midnight until tomorrow morning. All right, never mind. Tomorrow morning, the carbon Pesach is noser. Right, and by the way, you're not allowed to burn the Karban Pesach tomorrow morning. You have to wait until Sunday morning. Right. I know it's Yontif, but remember, we're all confused. We're in the diaspora. So the Sunday morning, you have to burn the Nosar. So it's Vachem Alamachet Chayev Mahu. So if I eat Nosar from five different Karbanos, so are you going to be Chayev five times over? Or one time over. Chayv achas, akulon o chayv akol achas v'achas. So amru lo shamanu. So now, on this, now you understand. Amr of Yeshua, Shabbat b'ochem, mizavachacha behen tamchuim behalam echad. Shu chayv akol achas v'achas, mishu me'ila. V'roon anir, dvarim kavachomer. So now you understand the give and the take. Rabbi Kiva's question was about eating noser from five different animals. Rabbi Yeshua's response is, well, if I eat carbon that I'm not allowed to eat, and I eat carbon on five different plates, I'm chai for each one, so therefore, me'ila, so there, if I'm chai five times over, hereby knows I'm going to be chai five times over, and ro'na nidvarim kavachomer. And I think it's a kavachomer. Now, amr lo Rabbi Kiva, so here, the discussion progresses. Well, Rabbi Kiva says, back to Rabbi Yoshua, I don't see the kavachomer. So, im halacha nikabel. Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Yoshua, look, if you're telling me that you know this as just simply a halacha, halacha Moshe min Sinai, or you have this as a tradition, I'm ready to accept. But im ledin, yesh tshuva. But if you think this is a kavachomer, I'm going to argue with a kavachomer. Remember, kavachomer is basically logic, and logic that can be employed by you and me, meaning kavachomer can be deliberated, and that's exactly what Rabbi Kiva is going to do. Amar lo hashev. So Rabbi Yeshua says, bring it on, let me hear it. So Amar, v'lo im amart b'me'ila sho'os ebas amachil kol chavesa mehanekenene sirefes ame'ila l'zman merubah. Look, by me'ila, you have a number of chumras by me'ila that you don't have by nosar. So for example, asabo machil ka'ochel. I feed somebody something, carbon that I shouldn't be feeding, meaning again, carbon that we're not allowed to eat. Let's say it's before Zrikas Adam. Okay? I feed somebody that, meaning I didn't actually enjoy it, but I fed it to somebody else. I violated Me'ila. Okay? That's one. Two, Mahana Kenene. It's basically the same idea. Mahana Kenene, let's say I take oil that belongs to the base of Mikdash and I rub it on somebody else. Okay? So in other words, I didn't benefit from it, but I misappropriated. Or, Tzira Samila is Mamruba. Let's say I eat a little bit of carbon now, and a little bit of carbon tomorrow. Not even Kedei Achilas Pras. And nevertheless, the two are going to combine in order to bring about the requisite amount of liability for Me'ila.
That's Behelam Echad.
And it's Behala Mecha. So you see, by Me'ilah, you have a lot of chumras by Me'ilah that you don't have by Achilas Nosar. Tomer, Benosar, Sheinbo, Achas, Me'ilu? Nosar doesn't have any of that. Yeah. So Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Yeshua, your comparison is not a good comparison between Me'ilah and Nosar. Me'ilah is much more chumra. So yeah, I'll be chai for Me'ilah if I eat five off of five different plates. But not eating five nosa from five different animals. Maybe I don't agree with your kav chomer. So my kashle, just do a little more gemara and then we'll stop for today. My kashle, Rabbi Shimon Hachi kashle. My raya l'shochem elchem malochus shekei nana. Malochus shekei nana. So in other words, the gemara just first points out, why did Rabbi Shimon just destroy the first version of the story? Because, and we made this point back in the Mishnah, you're comparing shechting a karban to eating me'ila, right? To eating karban, shechting karban, you're getting no benefit whatsoever. Eating me'ila, you're getting benefit. So the two are not comparable. The Gemara is just simply going over the entire Mishnah again. Achas al kulanu chava kol achas va'achas amru lo shaman Rabbi Yeshua amar shamati. Why are we doing this? Ba'ochem mizevach echa bechamisha tamchuin shuchava kol achas va'achas mishamayil averani shadvam kavachamer. Okay, let's pause over here. Okay, at the two dots. Okay, so now we understand Rabbi Shimon rejects the first version of the deliberation between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua. We are now going to head tomorrow into the accepted version of the discussion. And basically, the Gemara's question tomorrow is going to be the following. Look, Rabbi Akiva came back at Rabbi Yeshua and said, I don't like your Kav HaChomer. And explain why he didn't like his Kav HaChomer. Where does the conversation go from there? The Mishnah ends the conversation, and tomorrow the Gemara is going to pick up. Where does it go from there? Okay, we'll stop over here. First of all, I want to wish everyone a Chakosh V'Samech, wonderful Yontif. Tomorrow, times I know. Tomorrow we're meeting at 5:45 in the afternoon, wherever there's room for us. Probably a social hall. And on the second day of Yontif, 6 p.m. 5:45 tomorrow, 6 p.m. on the second day of Yontif. We'll have, it's going to be about an hour and 20 minutes each day. Okay, hour and 10 minutes. Okay, so fine. So we'll have some extra time of learning over Yontif. Again, the learning this morning is Rafur Shlema.
Rafael Zaka Avraham.
Rafael Zaka Avraham.
Ben Yakira
Avigail.